The Jack Webb Show. Ah, yes. Time. Oh, my darling. Have you ever stopped to think what Wednesday night at 9:30 means? Oh, my darling. Wednesday night at 9:30 means Wednesday night at 9:30. Ah, my darling, if we were on a windswept hill, if we could but go there, if we could but be there, alone, just you and I and that windswept hill, just the three of us, just you, just I, just that windswept hill. The three of us, that is. I could but whisper but these three immortal words in your ear, words as old as time. Time. These three words would I but whisper. The Jack Webb Show.
Week, Mayor Lapham announced that the fight was still on to raise streetcar fares, but the Jack Webb Show sinks slower and lower. Yes, the Jack Webb Show, or Lost Wednesday. That means Phil Bavero and those eight retards known as the Ragged Airs, Clancy Hayes, who brought music to the marina, will sing the words whether they match the music or not. Tiny Nora McNamara, pretty as a picture, will be framed by the orchestra again this week. John Galbraith, a rare Oakland importation, will prove that anyone can be a radio actor. Due to an increase in our program budget, the above people and things will be assisted in tonight's production by an all-star cast of thousands. And if you hurry, you have just time to catch the second show at your neighborhood movie.
Tune to Facts on Parade.
Yes, here's the program all Africa has been raving about. It's Facts on Parade. The only program devoting its entire time to bringing you the unusual, the bizarre, the little known, and that's a fact. This is the program that has everyone saying,
"Why, I knew that all the time."
Yes, many college students have used this program instead of their books to graduate. And that's a fact. And now here's the man who says, that's a fact, for fact-loving people everywhere, Fred Fact.
Thank you, Fred Flooper, and good evening. And that's a fact. Here's a curious item that comes to us from Fredville, Florida, sent in by Fred Fudge. And that's a fact. Fred Fudge offers this observation. If the uniforms of all the privates in the army were laid end to end, they would most certainly reach. That's a fact.
Our next item comes from Fredtown, Scotland, submitted by Mrs. Fred Fink.
This one is very strange. She says, and I'm not quite sure this is even a fact, robbing Peter to pay Paul is not much better than robbing Paul to pay Peter. And that's a fact.
And this one wins the Fred Fact Fine Finders of Fact Award. It is submitted by Fred Fang, who lives in Fred Valley, Minnesota.
Fred Fang makes this quaint observation. He says that on this program, we seem to show partiality to the name Fred. And that's a Fred. I mean a fact.
Ladies and gentlemen, this material has been approved by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We wish to thank the Federal Bureau of Investigation for this material, which they assure us is material.
Is it Dick Tracy?
No.
Is it Sherlock Holmes?
No.
Is it Mr. North?
No.
Is it Mrs. North?
No.
Is it the Thin Man?
No.
The Fat Man?
No.
The Saint?
No.
The Whistler?
No.
The Rod?
No, no, no,
the Bat?
No, no, no.
The Green Hornet? The Spider? The Dog? The Cat? The Mouse?
No!
It's... the Razor!
He's sharp.
Another conspicuous first for radio, The True Adventures of the Razor. Tonight's story, another close shave for the Razor. Entitled The Case of the Confused Keyhole. The Razor is brought to you each week at this time by, well... the Razor is no cheap commercial detective. He's sustaining. Leave us look in on the Razor, sitting in his study, thinking.
3 hours and I haven't had a case. This inactivity is maddening. I'm in a rut. I might as well admit it. As a last resort, I may telephone my sweetheart, Peaches Latool. Too late now. I have a murder on my hands. Hello, this is the Razor. Who's been murdered? No murder? Oh, you have the wrong number. What? Who? Bufano? Benny Bufano? The press club cat has been stolen? What? What? No, don't touch a thing. This looks serious. You know, Bufano, I suspect the archenemy of the Razor, Stan Strop. I'll go to work on him right away. The press club cat stolen. Being held for ransom. I wonder why. Those poor reporters haven't any money. I'll bet there's a half dozen murders before I get to the bottom of this. I'm off for the press club. Peaches Latool, what are you doing at the press club? This is gang dinner night.
What do you mean, press club? You're on the opposite side of town. You're at my house.
You sure?
Yeah. You've driven all the way across town backwards.
Must have been that Saratan I put in the gas tank. Well... I'm off for the press club.
Razor, darling, you seem to be in a lather.
Well, I am. This case has got me stumped. Who stole that cat and why?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
Oh.
Wait. Wait.
Yes?
I think I hear a murder out in the hall.
Oh, Razor, you're on edge.
Yes, yes, perhaps I am. There, did you hear the shot?
That was the phone bell.
Oh, this is the Razor. Who? Dick Powell? Oh, well, just fine, thank you. And you? That's fine. Well, I can't be three places at once. How should I know who sapped you? Features, I have a plan.
You have?
Yes.
Oh, that's fine.
Yes, isn't it? Peaches? What'd you say?
Nothing. That was the phone bell.
Oh. This is the razor. What? Who? Humane Society. Every one, you say? What? What? No, don't touch a thing. This looks serious. You know, Humane Society, I suspect the archenemy of the razor, Stan Strop. I'll go to work on him right away. Peaches, you're not going to believe this. That Press Club cat was only the beginning. Every cat in town has been stolen. Peaches, I've made a list of all the suspects. Round them up and take them down to the San Francisco Opera House. That should hold them all. I'll meet you there in 1 hour, if I don't run into a murder.
They're all here, Razor. 4,000 suspects.
This ought to be easy. Somebody will betray himself with a guilty expression.
Days now.
Yeah. The suspects have thinned out to a mere 3,000. Peaches, I'm on the verge of cracking this case.
We've been here 3 weeks now.
Yes, and I've thinned the suspects down to a scant 1,000. Peaches, this fellow's playing hard to get.
There he goes, Razor, the last suspect.
Yes, and not one of them had a guilty expression. Peaches, this whole thing has been a dismal failure. We're on the wrong track. The Razor admits. He's failed.
Oh, let's go home.
Right. Look out, Peaches! Did they slice you? Peaches?
No, I'm all right.
You know, Peaches, I'm not sure, but I think the men in that car were trying to kill me. I suspect the archenemy of the Razor, Stan Strop. I'll go to work on him right away.
Scrape the sky, Razor. I've got you covered.
Egad! Trapped by the notorious Phil Furs.
We interrupt the adventures of the Razor to bring you a brief message. The Razor is no cheap commercial detective. No one can sponsor the Razor. And now, back to the Razor.
I've got you covered now, Phil Furs.
That happened awfully fast.
Yes, didn't it?
Razor, look. That dog is growling at Phil Furs.
Yes, Peaches. Phil Furs, I arrest you for the theft of the Press Club cat and every other cat in town.
Razor, are you sure?
But of course, I should have known it all along. That dog was growling not at Phil Furs, but at the sweater he's wearing.
The sweater Phil Furs is wearing?
You're too late, Razor.
Egad, think of it, Peaches. Phil Furs has skinned every cat in town.
But why did he steal the Press Club cat?
Simple, Peaches. That was done to confuse me. How silly. Yes, Phil Furs. I arrest you for engaging in the illegal practice of the manufacture and the sale of Catsmere sweaters.
Back home again, again, in Indiana. It just seems that I can see that same old candlelight still shining bright through the sycamores for me. And that new mown hay sends out its fragrance through the fields I used to roam. And when I dream about the moonlight on the Wabash, how I'm longing for my Indiana home. Thank you. back home again, again in Indiana. It just seems that I can see that same old candlelight still shining bright through the sycamores for me. And that new mown hay sends out its fragrance through the fields I used to roam. And when I dream about the moonlight on the Wabash, how I'm longing for my Indiana home.
It's contest time on the Jack Webb Show.
Yes, this is that attractive gift offer you've been all waiting for.
Say, Webb, we'd better pitch it straight.
Okay, John, I guess we have. Tell them what we'd like, will
you? Okay, gang, we got a ginger peachy prize just waiting for the person who writes the best letter or postcard on the subject, how to get the Jack Webb Show off the air. Executives of the American Broadcasting Company are not eligible to enter this contest.
That's right. Folks, John's not fooling. We really would like to get your letters and cards. And the subject once more, John boy?
All right, but most of them probably have their letter written already. The subject is how to get the Jack Webb Show off the air. All letters must be postmarked not later than Sunday midnight, April 14th.
Just address your letters and cards to the Jack Webb Show, American Broadcasting Company, San Francisco, Zone 2.
Honest, you'll like the prize. We can barely afford to give it away.
Sad people everywhere. This is your program.
Yes, sad ones. This is the Misery Hour.
Presented each week at this same sad time by the makers of Phil DeMille's pills. Is your head splitting with NIAP? Oh, that miserable NIAP feeling. Each of us has it at one time or another. No use trying to fight NIAP, for NIAP fights back. The only way to rid yourself of NIAP is to have your head removed, which is, of course, unless you have plenty of money, is not practical these days. Fight NIAP with Phil DeMille's pills, a harmless little stimulant that contains small amounts of opium, heroin, marijuana, and cyanide. Before the various stages of NIAP set in, head NIAP, back NIAP, foot NIAP, and ear NIAP, fight NIAP effectively with Phil DeMille's pills. NIAP, spelled backward, is pain. And now your host for the evening and conductor of the Misery Hour, Bill Ball.
Thank you, Terry Tear. Well, friends, before tonight's interviews begin, I am happy to report that Gladys Glue, you remember Gladys? She had on the pink formal and the big green picture hat. Lovely child. Well, Gladys Glue has decided to stick it out. She will divorce those first two husbands and stay married to the third. No applause, please. I am sure that all of you will recall that charming little French chap, Dale Duet, the little two-headed boy. Well, I'm happy to report that little Dale has solved his problem. The public library has granted him two cards, and now he can have a book for each head. No applause, please. And now, the case of Mrs. P.G. McMee of Milpitas. Oh, me, Mrs. McMee. You're all going to pieces. Pull yourself together now. Now, what is your problem?
Oh, I feel miserable, Mr. Ball.
We all do on this program, my dear.
Well, Mr. Ball, I don't know whether you would consider this a problem or not.
Well, tell it, my dear, and we'll see.
Well, I married my husband, Melvin McMee, and I never really did get along with his grandfather because the old man said that I had a face like his sister's cousin, who was a gangster because he was given a good beating by her brother-in-law, who later turned out to be the husband of a very wealthy oil woman from Oklahoma, who never suspected her father of having anything to do with the Nazis. Because as far back as the three boys could remember, their mother was mean to them and never allowed their younger sister any of the privileges that Flossie had. which caused the uncle great concern because he had been on the lookout for her mother's brother ever since the last war and was determined that no matter what happened, he would not forgive them. So they are after me time and time again for an answer, and I still have my ambitions. Well, Mr. Ball, my problem is, should I?
Would you mind repeating that, please? Better still, let's have the next case.
Good evening, Mr. Ball. My name is Hobart Heap, and I live in Sausalito. And I have a problem.
Yes, go right ahead. Don't be nervous.
Thank you, Mr. Sausalito. My name is Ball Heap, and I live in Hobart.
Now, please, don't be nervous.
Yeah. Well, my name is Hobart Sausalito, and I live in a heap.
Now. You're all unstrung. I believe your name, didn't you say your name was Sausahipo, and
yes.
You live in Ball Barto?
Well, I have a problem. I am a gambler, and I do the same thing all gamblers do. I gamble. I started gambling pennies at first, and then the grocery money, and then I gambled all my wife's savings away. Our car, our home, all gone. All gone now.
And what does your wife think about all this?
I don't know. She left me yesterday. This morning she came back with the children and the washing machine, but I'd gambled the washing machine away.
I see. Well, about all you have left is your home, isn't it?
No. No, that went this afternoon. Just 2 hours after I lost my job. Life's just about over for me, Mr. Ball. Gambling has been my undoing.
I see. And your problem?
Mr. Ball.
Yes?
I'd like to know who looks good to you in the fourth at Bay Meadows.
Thank you.
Al Halfcrack, surplus salesman.
This week, as it must to all men, Army Day came to the infantrymen. In San Francisco, the 2nd Division paraded up Market Street.
What about surplus?
In New York, the Rainbow Division paraded up Broadway.
What about surplus?
Yes, in Washington, Army bigwigs were faced with the perplexing question of surplus. Where is it?
Thus, this Army Day, people all over America were asking the question, what about surplus? Who's buying it, or can they? To bring an end to these questions, a page torn from the private files of Hal Halfcrack, surplus salesman.
Oh, you bet, madam. Why, that 16-inch shell will make a beautiful ashtray.
Well, are you sure it won't go off?
Oh, positively. Why, madam, our detonator experts have gone over that shell from stem to stern. It's as safe as a baby's rattle. Yes, you'll certainly surprise your husband with this ashtray.
All right, I'll take it. Here you are.
Fine. You won't regret this buy, madam. No, sir, you won't regret it. Over there. Goodbye.
Over there.
Well, it'll still make a good ashtray.
Good afternoon. Are you Hal Halfcrack?
Right the first time. Hal Halfcrack, and I'm dealing in Army surplus.
Fine. Then you're just the man I want to see. I've just come from the draft.
Ah, too bad, too bad. Almost got drafted myself once. Going in the Army, eh? Well, you've come to the right place. You have a decided advantage over the boys who went in early. You're going into the Army equipped.
Yes, but Mr. Halfcrack...
Don't say another word. I'm going to outfit you, son. From top to bottom, you're going to be wired for sound.
But Halfcrack...
If you don't quit interrupting me, fella, I'll send you right into the Army just like you are. Now, you'll need... Tell me, fella, what branch of the service are you thinking of going into? Well, it really doesn't matter. First off, you're going to need a few uniforms, about 12 dozen of each. Paratroopers, cavalry, mechanized infantry, infantry, and air corps. That's in case you're transferred.
But,
You were about to say, what if you're promoted? Well, I thought of that too, fella. I'm throwing in officer's uniforms for each of the branches, 12 dozen each.
I think you're making a mistake.
Yes, you thought I was leaving out your means of transportation. Well, you're wrong. I'm putting in a fleet of jeeps on your list and a staff car in case you're appointed to the higher echelon.
Halfcrack.
Halfcrack. I'm glad to see you're taking an interest in this. After all, it's for your benefit, not mine. Yes, indeed, you will need a Halfcrack. Ours haven't been working too well lately, so I'm going to include 3 in your order.
But...
That's a good question. What if you don't stay in the ground forces? What if you fly? Well, we're all out of B-29s, but I can let you have 4 B-17s.
But...
All right, you can have 6. I'll stretch a point.
You don't seem to understand.
Oh, yes, you're worried about that fighter protection up there. Well, I'm including a dozen each. 1 dozen P-38s, 1 dozen P-40s, 1 dozen P-51s, and if you're lucky, I may throw in a half dozen of the new jets.
Halfcrack.
You've already got one of those in your list, fella. Now, there's only one more thing I can think of. Let me see. Chemical warfare, yes? You'll need a full supply of all the poisonous gases plus a sniff kit so you won't poison yourself. And I happen to have one carload of the late gas mask.
But,
you'll need every one of them. You'll meet a lot of friends in the Army. You know, I can't see why all the rest of the folks who come in here can't use the war surplus items I've sold you. They're all handy. Now, what have you got to say to that?
Only this. I'm the clerk of your draft board, and for some reason you were overlooked in the early call. You're going into the Army equipped. You've just been drafted.
Well, tonight's egg was laid on the vocal side by Clancy Hayes and Nora McNamara. John Galbraith and Ethel Sterling blew the lines. Phil Bavaro and his ragged airs were the music. Dick Green glued the joints together. This is Jack Webb saying goodnight, gang. Hey, and look in on us again next week about 9:30. And don't forget your letters and cards, will you?
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.